I think I must have lain there only a few minutes. Perhaps the mental shock of the ghastly experience I'd endured was greater than the physical one, for the next thing I remember is stumbling slowly over the rocks by the waterside, without knowing where or who I was. I sat down, and gradually it all came back, like a terrible nightmare. It took some moments before I could assure myself that I was alive again. Looking back, of course, I realized that from the moment I slipped into the funnel in the dungeon until I clambered ashore again on the Jotunberg can hardly have been more than 2 minutes. My initial plunge must have taken me to within a foot or two of the pipe's outlet. I'd scrambled out by sheer panicky good luck and floated to the surface. It was a miracle, no doubt, but a truly horrifying one. If I'm a coward, haven't I cause to be? Only those who know what it is to die can really fear death, I think, and by God, I knew. It haunts me still. Any time I have a belly full of cheese or lobster, I try to stay awake all night, for if I drop off, sure as fate, there I am again in that hellish sewer beneath Jotunberg, drowning upside down. However, at the time, when I realized that I wasn't dead yet, that I would be if I sat there much longer of cold and exhaustion, I took stock of the situation. At the point where I'd left the scene of the action so abruptly, it had sounded as though help had arrived. Presumably Kraftstein and his cronies had been overcome, and with any luck Rudy had met a well-deserved end into the bargain. Happy thought. Maybe they'd slung him down the pipe after me. I couldn't think of anyone I would rather have had it happen to. Anyway, they were probably getting Carl Gustav out of his fetters by now, and all would be jollity. How would they respond to my reappearance? It would be a bit of a blow to them after I'd appeared to die so conveniently. Would they be tempted to do the job properly this time? No, surely not. Not after all I'd done for them. Much against my will, though it had been. Anyway, it was settled for me. If I stayed there any longer, I would certainly freeze to death. I must just go into the castle and take my chance. From where I stood, I could see the causeway about 100 yards ahead, and as I stumbled round the base of the island, the drawbridge came into view. There were figures in the castle gateway, and they looked like Volsungs. Sure enough, as I came closer, I saw that they were, so I hallooed and scrambled up the little rocky path that ended at the bridge's foot. 3 gaping, sturdy peasants. They helped me up and led me through the debris-strewn archway into the hall. God, what a mess it was. Kraftstein lay beside the wheel, with his skull split and his great hands crooked like talons. I remembered their grip and shuddered. Nearby were 6 other bodies. Sapten had kept his word then. There would be no survivors of the Jotunberg garrison. There was a pool of blood in the very centre of the hall, and lying in it was the fellow who'd complained to Kraftstein of boredom. Well, ennui wouldn't trouble him any longer. The smell of powder was harsh in my nostrils, and a faint cloud of it still hung in the shadows overhead. The peasants pushed me down onto a bench, and while one helped me strip my sodden clothes, the second time that night, another washed the stinging gash in my arm and bandaged it round. The third, practical fellow, realizing that I had to be clad in something, was pulling the garments off one of the corpses. He chose one who had been neatly shot in the head and had been considerate enough not to bleed much. And I can't say that I felt any revulsion at all about wearing dead men's weeds. In fact, they fitted uncommon well. Then they presented me with a flask of schnapps, and I sent half of it down my throat at once and felt the fiery warmth running back along my limbs. I poured a little into my palm and rubbed it on my face and neck, a trick Mackenzie taught me in Afghanistan. Nothing like it for the cold, if you can spare the liquor. I sipped the rest slowly, looking round. There were several Volsungs in the hall, staring curiously about them, and I could hear the voices of others in the upper rooms. They seemed to have everything in hand. Of Sapten and Grundvig there was no sign. Well, this was fine, so far as it went. I was beginning to feel excellent, now that the shock, no, the series of hellish frights of the evening were wearing off. And I was savouring the blissful knowledge that here I was, hale and whole, with drink in me, warm clothes, and nothing more to fear. With every moment, as I realised what I'd endured and escaped, my spirits rose, I could contemplate the future for the first time in months without feeling my bowels dropping down into my legs. "Where's Major Sapton, then?" says I, and they told me he was down in the dungeon still. On no account, they said, was anyone to intrude. Well, I knew the prohibition wouldn't include me, so I brushed aside their protests with a show of princely authority. Remarkable how habits stick, once learned, and marched across to the passage. I checked at the archway, though, and asked if they were sure all the defenders were dead, and they beamed and chorused, "Yah, yah!" I took a sabre along anyway, not for protection, but because I knew it'd look well, and went down the staircase and into the cloister. Through the far archway I heard the murmur of voices, and as I came closer Sapton was saying, "Hansen's body in the moat! I wish we had laid Starnberg by the heels, though. That's one overdue in hell!" That was bad news. I took a hurried look round and then cursed my nervousness. Wherever Rudy was, it wouldn't be here.
"It all passes belief," said another voice, and I recognized it as Carl Gustav's. "Can it be true? A man who could take my place? An English impostor? And yet he came here, alone, with Hansen, to try to save me?"
"He didn't have much choice," growled Sapton. "It was that or a rope." "Well, damn him! There was gratitude."
"Nay, nay, you wrong him."
It was Grundvig now, excellent chap.
"He tried to make amends, Sapton. No man could have done more without him." "Do I not know it?" says Carl Gustav. "I saw him fight. He saved me from that scoundrel. My God, what a death."
There was a pause, and then Sapton says, "Aye, well, give him the benefit of the doubt. But I have to say it, in dying he performed you a service, Highness. For alive he might have been a confounded embarrassment." Well, I wasn't standing for this. Besides, I know a cut when I hear one. I stepped softly through the archway. "Sorry to be inconvenient, Major," says I, "but embarrassment or not, I am still here to serve his Highness."